You'll turn back again in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. As we think this evening about wise words for work, wise words for work. It isn't an easy life being a child. I remember back to my days as a child with a mixture of sheer pleasure and utter drudgery. I'm sure the children here know what it's like. It's not easy. One moment you're outside playing, you're having fun, things are good, and then a voice calls you to come inside to tidy your room or do your homework. Wash the dishes, or maybe the worst job, vacuum the house. That's what I remember of my childhood. Work and fun do not go together. We can grow up with a wrong view of work. We can resent work. Work is a burden that is either endured or avoided at all costs. For many people, we have a wrong view of work. And the problem is that with a wrong view of work, we will never have a right view on how we are to live godly lives in work. Some people see work only as a means of getting money. Work is all about earning enough money to buy the things that we want. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Others see work as something that can bring us satisfaction. We work hard so that at the end of the day we can be satisfied with what we've done or what we've had to endure. Work in that sense gives us significance or a sense of fulfillment. But again, that's not the primary reason why we have work. Scripture gives us so much more. We work primarily and most importantly to bring glory to God. God is a God who works. As Father, Son, and Spirit, God is involved in work. The Old Testament often uses the word work to describe God's actions. Think back to the beginning. In the beginning, God created. On the seventh day, he rested from the work of creation. And God is the God who sustains. His work involves keeping creation together. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, speaking of Christ Jesus, God the Son, we are told he upholds the universe by the word of his power. God the Son works. God is also the God who saves. This salvation is described for us as the work of redemption. Again, God the Son, speaking to God the Father in John 17, verse 4, says, "Having accomplished the work that you gave me to do." And God the Holy Spirit is involved in work. He's involved in the work of being the comforter. He's involved in the work of opening eyes and hearts. He's involved in the work of giving us gifts to serve Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, Paul has listed a variety of gifts and abilities. And then he says, all these are empowered by the same Spirit. And that work empowered is the word work. The Spirit works in them, in us. He works. God, in his character, God in his very being, as Father, Son, and Spirit, is a God who works. And being made in God's image, we have been created to display something of the character of God. And part of this likeness is seen in our working. Adam and Eve, they were given the task of working in the garden. They were to be like the Creator God in this way. And when we are working, we are reflecting something of the character of God. And when we are working, we are bringing glory to God. Since the fall, of course, work has become harder. Work now involves toil, a hardship and struggles. There's a laboring associated with work. And work isn't always easy. But work, in and of itself, has been given by God so that we might bring Him glory. Sin entering the world now means that work carries with it a burden at times. But it's still there so that we may bring glory to God. So how then do we approach our work? And here, when I'm using the word work, we're thinking about all types of work. It's not just paid employment. Paid employment is one type of work. But there's work of all different types and kinds. From the youngest here to the oldest, we can all be involved in work. Work includes the things that you do about the house. Washing the dishes, cutting the grass. Work includes what you have to do at school and university. Work includes volunteer work. Work includes being creative and productive. Work includes serving one another, working within Christ's kingdom, being creative, productive, using our gifts and abilities. It's all work. So how then do we approach work in a Christ-like manner? Well, the book of Proverbs deals with this important topic. And here this evening we have wise words for our work. And a key verse. Every week I'm trying to give a key verse so that we can focus our thoughts. And it's found in Proverbs 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Here are wise words for our work. The first thing that I want us to notice is that we are to follow the example of the ant. Follow the example of the ant. Consider the ant. Here it is, children. This is the little insect that we're going to be talking about. But how embarrassing. Consider the ant. But look at me. I'm a grown-up. I'm a large human being. I'm strong and have abilities and gifts, and yet God in His Word takes us down to a very tiny insect. Charles Bridges, in his excellent commentary on Proverbs, he puts it this way: what a proof it is of the degradation of the fall of man, created in the image of God and made wiser than the creation, that he should be sent as here, to this insignificant school for instruction. This insignificant school, the little ant, teaches us so much. Well, what wise words does the ant give us about work? Well, we have them verses 7 to 8. And we see, firstly, as we follow the example of the ant, that the ant works hard because it's been created that way. The ant works hard because that's the way it's been made. The ant doesn't have a chief or an officer or a ruler. She goes and prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. The ant hasn't been taught this, didn't have to go to school to learn about its role in life. It works because it has been created this way. The initiative for work, the get up and go for the ant, it comes from its created order. Consider the ant created for work. Genesis 1:28. God said to them, that is Adam and Eve, human beings, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over it. We too have been created to bring glory to God, to bear His image. And we bring glory to God when we are being creative and productive. We bring glory to God when we are working. Part of the reason we have been created is for work. We are here to do work that God has given to us. We are to work because that's the way we're made. As we look at the ant, we see that we are created this way, created for work. Another lesson that we learn from this insignificant school of instruction is that she has no chief, no boss, she has no manager overlooking her work, and yet the ant works. We are to work hard even when no one is watching over us. The ant has no outside authority pressing her to keep working. There's no timesheet for the ant to fill out. There's no boxes to be ticked. There's no minimum quota that the ant has to satisfy, and then she can kick off her shoes and relax. The ant works, even though no one is watching over her. She continues to work. Paul speaks of this when he's writing to the church in Colossae. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 to 24, Paul writes to slaves and he says, "Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men." And then he finishes by saying, "You are serving the Lord Christ." Even when people aren't watching us, we are to be working. We are not to be people pleasers. We're not only to work when the boss looks over our shoulder. Children, you're not only to do your homework when your parents are sitting there making you do it. You're not to just do the dishes when your mum directs you to do them. We are to be working and working hard even when no one is looking. We're not just to do a good job of something when we know that people will notice. This is true for in the church. The tasks, the duties that we have, serving Christ within His kingdom. We're not just to do it so that people will notice. We're not to do it so that people will come along and pat us on the back. We're not to do it only when people are paying attention. We're not to be people pleasers. You see, we're told that God notices. We are to work hard, even when no one notices, because we are serving a greater master. In everything that we do, in all the tasks that God has before us, whether it's paid employment or not, whatever that work is, in the place that God has put us, in the tasks that He set before us, we are serving Jesus Christ. We are to work hard, even when no one notices. Richard Baxter, a Puritan, the Puritans wrote quite a lot about work. And Richard Baxter says this, "Be conscientious and faithful in performing all the labor and duty of a servant. Do not neglect the business you have to do. Don't do it lazily or deceitfully or by halves. Work hard at whatever it may be, even when people don't notice, because you are serving Christ." The third lesson that the ant teaches us is we are to be industrious and productive. We're told that she prepares her bread in summer, and she gathers her food in harvest. What is it that the ant is doing? Well, the ant is giving herself to being productive. She's working hard to sustain life. She's working hard for her community. She's working hard for a goal and a purpose. And when we work, we are to be productive. Proverbs 10, verse 4. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Proverbs 12, verse 11. Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. In Proverbs 13, verse 4, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. There are benefits and blessings in work. Practically, of course, we will be productive. We will be able to provide for ourselves. If you're in paid employment, that work will bring in an income. For people who work in the garden, if they have fruit and vegetables, the work that they put in, they will benefit from the produce of that. That makes sense to us. Of course it's true in a physical sense. God provides in this way. Provision isn't promised to us if we do nothing, if we're lazy, if we don't follow his command to be creative and productive. And just as this is true physically, it's also true spiritually. There are blessings and benefits in being active in our faith, striving in our faith, serving in our faith, serving Christ in his church, being productive, being industrious. We are to work in such a way that we are providing spiritually for ourselves, feeding on God's word, going out and sowing the gospel. We're to work in such a way that we are benefiting others, just the way the ant does within that community. When we are serving, when our attitude to work is one of being productive, creative, and industrious, when it's one of seeking to please Christ and not people, when it's one of giving ourselves to what God has set out before us as created beings, there are blessings and benefits and provisions that are made. The ant teaches us that as part of God's creation, we've been created for work. And in that work, we are to have the mindset, the attitude of approaching our work for the Lord, working for him, whatever it is we are doing. And as we work for Christ, as we serve Christ in the place where he has us, then we'll be bringing him glory. We'll be productive, we'll be industrious, creative. Follow the example of the ant. Then secondly, we are to flee the example of the sluggard. Flee the example of the sluggard. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Go to the ant, O lazy person. That's what God is saying in his word. We have to be careful when it comes to work, because there are times for rest. We're not to be workaholics. We're not to make an idol out of work. We're not to make an idol out of our career. This is sometimes a danger that Christians can fall into. We know that we are to work hard. We have a desire to work hard. We want to glorify Christ in our work. And so we'll give ourselves to work. That Protestant work ethic that we sometimes talk about has come out of that. But we're not to make an idol of our work. We're not to let work itself take priority. We're not to be constantly working. Scripture gives us time of rest. One day in seven, the Lord's day. We're also given the example of Christ. Christ at times withdrew himself from the people for rest and for refreshment in the presence of his Father. We've been created for work, but we've also been created for different types of pleasure and enjoyment. And God has given us many good things. But we are not to be lazy. And Proverbs 6 is speaking to the sluggard. Here is the sluggard described for us in verse 9 to 11. It begins with something that most of us heard in our teenage years. Some of you maybe hear this even still from your parents. Verse 9, how long will you lie there? One or two smirks. Most of us have probably heard that at some time. Are words that were sometimes echoed in our house growing up, obviously never at me. Proverbs 26, verse 14, as a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. The slow creaking groan of the teenager as they roll over slowly, twisting the duvet around them. Here is the sluggard, the lazy person. This is what we are to avoid. This is what we are to flee from. And we see, firstly, that we are to flee from being lazy. Flee from being lazy. Look at verses 9 to 11 of chapter 6. We're wasting the time that God has given to us if we just lie on. If we do nothing. If we don't take heed of what God is setting before us in the tasks that he gives us to do. If we don't give ourselves to the work that God has given and set out for us, then we're just wasting time in your work, in whatever duty you have, whatever it is that God has called you to do. You're not to be lazy. We're not to waste away the hours doing nothing. And we're not to only just do a part job. Later on, Proverbs 26, verse 15. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. It wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. You can picture the scene. There he is, the lazy person. The food is set before him. And excellent, I'll put my hand in here to get the food. And it's just too much. Too much effort to take it back out and bring food up to the mouth. Proverbs is so graphic for us. He can't finish the job because he's too lazy. Well, what happens if we are lazy? Well, we can see the results of laziness here. 6 verse 11. Poverty will come upon you, and there will be want. The dangers of laziness are that we will deprive ourselves and we will deprive those around us of God's provisions. Proverbs says that we will be in a poorer state because of laziness. Of course, we know that to be true practically and physically. If you don't work, you don't get paid. If you don't work in the garden, you won't benefit from the produce that the garden makes. Well, whatever that may be. But it's also true spiritually. If we are lazy with our faith, if we don't seek to be creative and productive, if we don't seek to be sowing the seed, if we don't seek to be mining God's word for the treasures that it contains, if we're not working out our salvation, if we approach our faith like a sluggard, a little folding of the hands. Oh, I can wait. Doesn't really matter. If we do that, then we will be in a poorer state spiritually. We will have poverty spiritually. We will be in want spiritually. How can we reap what we haven't sown? How can we gather where we haven't scattered? How can we expect to grow spiritually? How can we expect a harvest if we are lazy? We don't sow the seed if we're not diligent in our spiritual work. We are to flee laziness. And then the second way that we are to flee the example of the sluggard is we are to flee from making excuses. Flee from making excuses. We have more of the sluggard described for us in Proverbs 26, verses 13 to 16. The sluggard makes excuses. Look at his excuse. He's on the road. He's heading to wherever it is that he's meant to be, probably a job of some sort, some work. And he cries out, "There's a lion in the road. I can't go there. I'm not going to be able to do that because of this lion. I can't do my work because of this or that. I can't be as productive as I want to be because of these issues. My boss is too controlling. My work colleagues don't pull their weight, so I won't pull mine. Everything is against me at work. I don't get any help. I'm the only one working." The list of excuses can go on and on. Excuses usually come when we are resenting our work. And we can resent our work. We can despise it. Especially when things are hard. Maybe things are not fair in your workplace. Maybe things aren't fair in your home. Maybe your parents have too high an expectation of you. And it's not fair, the things that they are making you do. But as Christians, as Christ's people who are serving Christ, our attitude is not to be one of making excuses or murmuring about our work. Again, Richard Baxter, the Puritan, "Go not unwillingly or murmuringly about your business, but take it as your delight. An unwilling mind loses God's reward and man's acceptance. Grudging and unwillingness make your work of little value, no matter how well done." Times of hardship, unfair bosses, over-the-top expectations, no one noticing. Work can be utterly consuming. Consuming of our time, our energy, our thoughts. And we can resent our work because of these things. But the wise words from Proverbs calls on us to be productive. Calls on us not to make excuses. Don't wriggle out. The same is true within the church. Things that need to be done. The sowing of the gospel seed, the reaching out to one another, the reaching out to a needy world. Don't make excuses. Don't wriggle out. There may be times in your work when you do have to stand up. There may be times when you have to say no, times when you have to say, "That is unfair, what's expected of me." But expect hardship. Because of the fall, we will still work alongside sinners. And we will still stumble in sin. But friends, we're not to be like the sluggard. We're not to be lazy. We're not to make excuses. Flee the example of the sluggard. Then thirdly and finally, focus on the encouragement from Christ. Focus on the encouragement from Christ. We can't separate our Christian life into different compartments, or we can't separate our life into different compartments. If we are Christians, that means that we are a Christian at church, at home, in our hobbies and interests, in our place of employment, at whatever work God has given us to do. And therefore, in our life, as those who are in Christ, everything that we are to do, we are to approach it as working for the Lord. But friends, as we do that, there is a wonderful encouragement. We see this encouragement firstly in Christ being our perfect example. He shows us how to approach our work. Christ is, of course, the wisdom of Proverbs. But he's also the one who completed the work that the Father gave to him. Christ was industrious and diligent in his task when he was here on earth. Like no one else, Christ has worked with complete diligence and he has worked sacrificially. The work of accomplishing salvation on the cross, Christ completed it. We can't work our way into heaven. No amount of work will ever earn our way into heaven. But Christ has completed this work for us, for guilty sinners as we are. And Christ continues to work for us. He intercedes for us. He prays for us before the Father, and he sustains us. By the word of his power, Christ sustains the whole universe. Christ has been diligent in his work, and he continues to be diligent in his work. And so when we focus on Christ in our work, whatever that work may be that God has given, as we work with an attitude that we are serving him, we are bringing him glory. And we are witnessing for Christ. When we approach our work in a Christ-like way, we are witnesses for him. When we work in the kingdom, when we give ourselves to Christ's kingdom, when we give ourselves to the tasks that God has set before us in the place where God has us, we will bring him glory and honor, and we will be witnesses. You might be the only example of a Christian in the place of work where you go. You might be the only example of a Christian in the place that God has put you. And when you're there, you're to be Christ-like and witness for him. And that includes having a right attitude to our work. If we complain and grumble, or if we're lazy people, then people will simply say, well, Christians are complainers and grumblers, and they're lazy. If, however, we are Christ-like, and if we approach our work as though we are serving Christ, then we bring him glory and we are witnessing to the new life that is found in Christ. And you can be witnesses for Christ in whatever work God has given you to do. Whatever tasks God sets before you, you can be a witness for Christ. And that is wonderfully encouraging. You can show to people that you have new life in Christ, and you serve a greater master. You serve a loving master. You serve one who has given of himself for you, one who accomplished his task of work of salvation for you. You can witness to that wonderful truth. Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. In our work, our wise words for work, the encouragement is we can be witnesses for Christ as we bring glory to Christ. There's also a further encouragement. And this encouragement comes from the words of our Savior. Well done, good and faithful servant. Matthew 25. Where we will maybe never hear those words from a boss, you'll maybe never hear those words from a work colleague, you'll maybe never hear them from a teacher, from someone that you're helping. You'll maybe never hear them because people haven't seen the work that you've done. We will hear those words from Christ Jesus. Well done, good and faithful servant. And our encouragement is that by his grace we will stand before him and he will say to us, well done. Look very quickly at Proverbs 22, verse 29. Proverbs 22, verse 29. Do you see a man skillful in his work? Here's the question. Do you see a man who's given himself to the tasks that have been set before him? Do you see the child who obeys the parents and has done the homework and has tidied the room? The child who's gone out and washed the dishes, cut the grass, whatever that work may be. Have you seen that retired person who does so much within the Church of Christ? They have all that time and they work continually striving. Have you seen that man or that woman whose work is a real burden? Who gives themselves to provide for their family, who seeks to glorify Christ in their workplace and yet gets no thanks. Have you seen the man skillful in his work? What about that man? He will stand before kings. You will stand before Christ. And friends, Christ will say to you, on that day, well done, good and faithful servant. Consider the ant, created for work, works when no one watches. Friends, we have been created to bring glory to God. One way that we do that is through our work. And as we work, we are serving King Jesus. And he will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen.